T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joined by the MMQB.com's Albert Breer. Albert, how's it going, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Albert?
What's up, Dustin?
Too much, buddy. So were you at the Sloan conference?
I was not, but I was actually during the combine. That's happened the last year. I've actually, even though it's like right next door to me, I've never been. And I've seen guys that come into town for it and everything else, and I'd like to go. It seems really interesting. It's just the last few years, it seems like every year it's fallen right at the same time as the combine, which, you know, obviously keeps me from going.
What do they talk about there? I mean, obviously they have guest speakers and things like that, but like, are they on stage talking about, you know, percentages on third down versus this front and coverage and things like that? Or is it more of a broader based conversation?
I think they got panels on pretty much everything. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, team building, cap management, like, you know, game management, all that sort of stuff. Like, they have panels on all those sorts of things. And, you know, obviously across all different sports and, you know, football, I think, you know, the interesting thing is I did a big story on this 2 years ago now on like how analytics work in football and everything else. And, you know, I think what's so interesting about it is like one of the reasons there's been some resistance to change in football is because football's been doing actual analytics for longer than anyone. You know, like the idea of studying game tape and looking at tendencies and all that sort of stuff that's existed in football forever, that's actually analytics, you know? And so I think the reason why there's been more pushback in the NFL than maybe in some other sports is because they weren't going from zero. Like a lot of their sports were going from zero. And so people would come in football and they may be like 30 or 40% of the way there. And so, you know, guys look at it and say, oh, we're already doing X, Y, and Z, so why do we need you? And so that part of it's interesting, but obviously it's a little different in football than it is in other sports.
Yeah, Albert, we were just talking about your article last segment, and it's got the quote there from Sashi Brown, and we were just discussing whether or not Sashi still has equity around the league. How do you see that for him?
Oh, I think it's really tough for him, to be honest. I think everything that happened, and everybody who had a piece of what happened the last 3 years in Cleveland has scars that they're going to have to recover from it, you know, and that's Hugh and his coaching staff. Todd Haley's a part of that. And, you know, obviously Sashi and his group too. You know, I think that's sort of because of the way things went there, there's definitely going to have to be, you know, a period of kind of getting yourself back on your feet and figuring a way to reestablish your reputation. It's not the first time we've seen something like that. I mean, I think there are other places where, and look, you can see some of the places where there's been internal implosion, right? Like Trent Baalke and Jim Harbaugh. Well, you know, Jim Harbaugh definitely get a job in the NFL if he wanted one now, but Trent Baalke is still out. Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson, you know, in Indianapolis, like, will either of those guys ever get a shot again? Generally when you fail, like a lot of times when you fail, you can come back from that. But when you fail and there's just all kinds of internal issues, that becomes that much harder to come back from, you know, because people doubt whether or not you can work with other people and everything else, whether that's fair or not. And so I think that that's a big piece of what everyone who was in Cleveland from 2016 through 2018 carries with them.
Albert, how much credit does Sashi deserve for setting us up? Because everyone's on the John Dorsey train and all that. And look, he's done a hell of a job since he's been here. But, you know, we shouldn't forget the fact that this thing was like basically a layup on a silver platter for Dorsey. He did have to make the picks and had the stones to take Baker Mayfield, but some of the success maybe could be attributed to Sashi. I'm not like a Sashi truther by any means, but I do think there's some things he did that were positive.
I mean, look, I think you can be fair about it. You know, like they did do a great job picking players when he was there, but they did an awesome job, you know, collecting assets. Mm-hmm. And if you want to look at it, like the creative way they did it was sort of groundbreaking. I mean, the Brock Osweiler trade, that's a fantastic way to creatively almost generate a draft pick out of nothing. You know, like we've got this cap space, so like let's turn it into something. So you know, creatively, they found a lot of different ways to generate a lot of picks, and you know, I think what you're seeing right now is, you know, a combination of, you know, new school asset management, which, you know, it's all the leftovers from the Sashi era, combined now with old school evaluation, you know, and what John Dorsey is doing. And so I think, you know, this isn't going to last forever, obviously, and it may already be over as far as the asset management part of it goes, but you see what happens when you can combine the two. And it's unfortunate they couldn't really make that happen in the time that Sashi was there, but you know, you certainly see a lot of the things that they did that put them in position to, you know, have a great environment for the quarterback and now take advantage of the window that they're going to be in with Baker on a rookie contract. And so I think there's, you know, from a theoretical standpoint, like the way that they managed everything, I actually think they did a bunch of things right. It was just, you know, the thing that got them was, you know, they weren't good enough at picking players. And unfortunately for them, and you know, this is on everybody, you know, the friction between the coaching staff and the front office, the old school football people and the analytics people made it so, you know, all of that patience that Jimmy Haslam said he was going to have with all of them wore thin faster than anyone thought it would.
Joined by Albert Breer, the MMQB.com here on 92.3 The Fan. Albert, we heard on Friday Colin Cowherd sourcing that Odell Beckham Jr. not only didn't want to be in Cleveland, but wanted to be in Los Angeles and is unhappy with the move. Have you heard anything, any rumblings like that? Not that it matters to us. He's here. He got traded here. But is that something that is actually baked in with some truth?
I you know, I hadn't heard that specifically, that he's not happy with going to Cleveland, or there was any sort of request communicated to the Giants, like if you trade me, then trade me to Los Angeles. But clearly, like, that was something that was discussed last year. And, you know, now the Rams obviously aren't in a position to go and trade for Odell Beckham. I mean, you look at their investment at receiver. They've got Brandon Cooks at $16 million a year. They've got Robert Woods at $11 million a year. They've got a good young receiver in Cooper Kupp coming back off an ACL. And the Chargers are loaded there, too, with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And so it's not like there was this great opportunity for him to get to Los Angeles, you know. And maybe, you know, this pie-in-the-sky idea was out there in his head that, like, somehow I'd love to play there. But once the Rams moved on last spring and you know, turned around and traded for Brandon Cooks, I think that ship really had sailed for Odell Beckham.
Albert, Baker Mayfield followed that conversation up with Colin Cowherd and just kind of went back at him and kind of stuck up for OBJ. Does it worry you that he's so involved and kind of biting the bait in the scenario?
Yeah, I don't really care about that, to be honest. Like, I think, you know, one thing I appreciate about Baker is that he's so transparent with these things, you know, and it's not like he's saying one thing behind closed doors and he's saying something else out in the open. And this is sort of who he's always been. You know, it's just, and this is, you know, coming from the people who've been around him and people who know him, and people who've evaluated him. You know, what everybody says about him is that, you know, he's unapologetically himself and like almost defiantly himself. And it's worked for him. I mean, look, like, if you were a certain way and you were able to be yourself and you were able to kind of carry yourself that way, and it took you from high school to winning a starting job in a major conference as a true freshman walk-on, then you transfer out to, you know, one of the bluest-blooded programs in America, you win a starting job there, your first chance at it, and then you wind up winning the Heisman Trophy and the number one overall pick in the draft, I think you'd probably be pretty set in the way that you are, too. And so it hasn't, I mean, caused problems for him with the people that he works with. His coaches love him. His teammates love him. And if all the people that he's working with sign off on him being this way and this works for him, I don't see where it's going to be a huge problem.
Albert Breer is with us from the MMQB. Albert, the Cardinals are bizarre to me. I don't know what's going to happen here with this Josh Rosen situation. I mean, do you buy the fact that they could draft Murray and keep Rosen on the roster, or is Rosen definitely getting moved if Murray's picked?
Because of the way the rookie contracts work, yeah. I don't think it's impossible. And, you know, we've heard in the past the idea that, you know, you wanted to throw resources at that position. And however you get to the point where you get it right, doesn't matter how you got there, as long as you get the right answer. And so I guess there'd be some merit to the idea of maybe taking two swings at the idea of getting quarterback right. But I find it hard to believe that they would actually go forward with that, because it would be hard to develop both guys at once. It would be hard on a day-to-day basis, I think, to kind of manage that. And so, you know, my guess is that if they do decide to pick Kyler Murray, which I think that they will do if they haven't done it already, that there will be a short period of time in which they try to move him and or try to move Josh Rosen. And the reason why I think it's going to be a pretty finite period of time is they want to use every day that they possibly can to make sure they get every T crossed and every I dotted on evaluating Kyler Murray. And then, you know, on the flip side, like, it doesn't make any sense for them to wait until after the draft to trade Josh Rosen if they are planning on trading him in 2019. Because you get past the draft, and now, you know what, Dwayne Haskins is on a team, Daniel Jones is on a team, Drew Locke's on a team, so you're naturally going to have less suitors than you did before the draft. And so however long that window is, whatever it is, 48 hours, 72 hours, a week, whatever it is, if they're going to trade Josh Rosen in 2019, and I think that they probably will, if they're going to trade Josh Rosen in 2019, I think it would have to be at some point before the draft. And my guess is that, you know, based on who he is and his pedigree and everything else, they might get a little bit better of a return than people think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Albert, elsewhere, A.B., is someone come get your man? You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on with him, Albert.
I don't know why anybody's surprised by this. You know, like this is who he was in Pittsburgh. You know, I mean, like, this is, I mean, look, this is the way I've explained it to people. Okay, and I've heard Le'Veon Bell and what he said about, like, I think he said to Jenny, you know, our like who did the big story for us. You know, he said that, like, Pittsburgh isn't a great place to. For a player, I don't know where that's coming from. I mean, Pittsburgh, I think, is one of the most historically player-friendly environments, not just in football, maybe in all of sports. They've been able to absorb big personalities over the years. They've been really good to their alumni. Like, the people who played it, who played there in the past, revere that place. You know, it's just, if you can't exist in that environment, I hate to say it, but it sort of says something about you, doesn't it? Like, if you can't exist in the environment the Rooneys have set up there for their players, I think it probably says a little bit more about you than it says about anybody else. And so, like, the fact that AP put himself in a position where he's that great a player, and, you know, the Steelers were fed up to the point where they were willing to get rid of him for a 3-5. I think says a lot, you know, and so I don't think anybody should be surprised by this. It's what the Steelers have been dealing with the last couple of years. And I'll tell you what, like, if you're Mike Tomlin right now, I think you might be sitting there looking at this and saying, thank God, you know, not only have we rid ourselves of a headache, as great a player as he was, but now he's actually basically explained to the world what we've been dealing with the last few years.
Yeah, it's crazy. Could be some addition by subtraction there. Albert Breer, the MMQB.com. Great stuff. Appreciate the insight, and we'll catch up with you down the road, man.
Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.